stopped his low laugh. Only you'm always a mare. And, with the first suggestion of a threat, and he dunna go breaking down any fences. She was a poor wife to him. He had not minded. His pride was in himself, and he had come back from the auction knowing that his fleeces, hill or no hill, had been coupled in the top price. "You'm like a dog with two tails. Dunna know which to wag," she said, slamming down the dish of tea. She was getting his meal out of the range. It was a stew, all spoiled, the meat stringy, the lukewarm gravy floating on the top in little puddles of grease. "Aye, that's right," he said. "A dog coming home to his vomit. Take it away." She stood there, sullen, fuming. "Take it away," he said, dropping his voice. "Bring cheese. I'm too young for sodding yet." She went to the dairy. Why, she did not know. She knew that she had to go. She returned with the cheese, bared almost to the rind. He went on with the meal in silence. Before him, stuck up between cup and jug, was a copy of the local paper, which shielded her from him. It was as if she were not there. "Is there anything you mind of but the Kerry Hills and the old bull?" she said after a while. "You'd not know if I was clemmed." "You inna clemmed," he said, not raising his head. "You'm line your side, come what may." He held the saucer in his hand and blew over the tea. "A woman inna all that struck on visuals," she said, a strange note in her voice. "Oh, aye." He looked up quizzingly. "You'm tiring your own time, then," he said. His face was motionless, statuesque. He answered because he had to. There was no life in his voice. "I inna an old hen to be trod as when's when." "Oh, aye." There was a sneer in his voice, and his thin, sardonic lips turned up in derision. The woman jumped up from the settle, a red flush spreading down her neck, her eyes narrowed, her face drawn and malignant under her mounting colour. "Happen I'd find my price," she said. She flung the words at him in challenge, standing there on the brink of frenzy. "Aye, happen, at a Dutch auction. They'd sell theyself in the doing." She stood facing him across the table, breathless, glaring. "Happen I have." There was no sound but the heavy tick-tock of the grandfather clock, the clatter of the chain. Outside, the windless heat, the nimbus of the brown earth. Far away, the thin smudge of hills, like a blue daub on the skyline. The earth seemed to quiver in the heat, stream up like a mirage in the dead air. The whole of the world had been struck silent, as though by the hand of death. He got up from his chair. There was still a thin derisive curl in his lips. "Happen they asked. Pity they'd not rattled. Then I'd know." He turned to face her, and she shrank involuntarily under the pale eyes. "But if they's trailed round about here, he'll get a charge of six shot in his arse." He jerked his thumb up to the rafters, where his double barrel hung. He reached for his hat and drew himself up in that strange animal movement from the hips. At the door he said, "Not for thy sake, for mine." She watched him turn into the farmyard. He had gone beyond her again. Not into the farmyard, but into his own world. That strange, spaceless, quiet world, where he had his own being. And she was left contactless, revolving round in her own axis, beyond the orbit of this larger light that she guessed at, but could not enter. And she was left with that sense of frustration which welled up in her like a flood. It was death itself. He had gone down to water the cattle. The duck pond beyond the Wayne house had dried up, leaving its baked, cracked bottom like a festering sore. He had to take them to the brook at the bottom of the meadow, and first of all to go was the bull. It was the bull he had gone to now, unlatching the door of the shippen.